Welcome back to another episode of Here's the Thing podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today,
I want to talk about a secret sin that I have. I have battled gluttony kind of off and on throughout my whole adulthood, now that I look over it. Part of it kind of started even in college, where I was trying to lose weight to be on the dance team.
Okay.
And I would know that me losing weight needed, like, required me to go on a strict diet. So I would have days where I would gorge just to get all my cravings out. And the next day, you know, I'm supposed to start this diet. But I would do that almost 2-3 times a week, because it's always like the next day I'm really going to start. Oh, well, I messed up. Well, I might as well go all out, because this, like, yeah, I have had an unhealthy relationship with food. And from that, and then it'll rear its head back up when, you know, I would smoke weed and I get the munchies and gorge on food. Even these past 2 years, I went from like a 2 to a 6. So let's talk about it, because I can't be the only one. I know that, kind of like you said before, gluttony is something that you can't always see. We can look at bigger people in a church, but it'd be the size twos like myself that still kind of deal with that. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you kind of gave us a lot to unpack.
I know, right?
From the jump. I about to say, so with gluttony, I about to say, I think that having a healthy relationship with food is important. And I think that, like, you know, especially us as Christians,
right?
Like, you know, I think that we have the responsibility to have a healthy relationship with food, but secretly we don't. And it shows on some people more than it shows on others.
Right.
But, like, you know, what do you think the importance is about being able to control, like, you know, the way you eat, portions, and the when you eat, like, you know, how much of it that you eat, like, you know, what's the importance behind that?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. Obviously, we're exercising that self-control thing, that fruit of the spirit. But even beyond that, I think that, and you can speak on this way better than I can, but Satan used just food to tempt us all the time, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the food that we're tempted with is horrible for us. You know, a lot of us have comfort foods, and I think that that is one of the things that kind of keeps us going back, especially in those times when we're uncomfortable, when we're sad. I would eat when I was, you know, whatever I was feeling, food always seemed to be the answer. And so in a lot of ways, I replaced Holy Spirit as my comforter with food. And so I know, Philippians 3, where it says, like, your appetite is your God.
Yeah.
You know, that is a real thing. And so I think that, just, you know, kicking us off, that's one of the major implications of not having a healthy relationship with food.
What was your comfort food of choice?
Like, so when it came to snacks and stuff, I love chips, like a good chip. Oh my gosh. Like,
sour cream onion chips.
I know
cannot
that.
Cannot go wrong.
You can go wrong. You went wrong.
It's impossible.
Just then.
It's impossible.
Actually.
They're the greatest chips in the world.
No, what's that? The Hers chips, those baby back ribs?
Hers? It's not even like a good name brand. Nobody eats Hers.
Some of the best things are well kept secrets, and that is one of them. Okay, I don't eat pork anymore, so that's like my fix. But any potato chips, I do like sour cream and cheddar. I like Cool Ranch. I just like a good potato chips would make you just lick your fingers at the end.
That's
Cheetos, just yeah.
That's
my thing. When it comes to like food, I like to cook, so I want to eat something heavy. I want pasta. Yeah. I want something good and saucy and hot and meaty and just all the things. My happy place.
No, I about to say, I know, like, you know, you always say, like, it's a shame that we like our own cooking as much as we do.
Listen, that was my downfall. I should have never learned how to cook.
And the interesting thing about our food intake and what we decide to eat is that, like, you know, the comfort food is one. It's never healthy. Like, you know, like I make wings. About said, I have the best wings on this side of heaven.
You do.
So at the end of the day, like, you know, when it comes to eating comfort food, I understand your sentiment of when you replace Holy Spirit with food, because at the end of the day, like, you know, that's it literally does that. It comforts you. It makes you feel good. Like, you know, it almost puts you in this daze where, like, now you can sleep, now you can rest. About say, like, you know, and that's what food does to you. And if we're not careful, we'll make idols out of food.
Yeah,
and Satan
sure
understands that. And you had brought that point up earlier about, like, how Satan uses food. And if this is not the fat shame anybody. This is not about like, you know, making people feel uncomfortable about your weight or whatever the case is. This is about having a healthy relationship with food on earth, because this is the weapon that Satan uses. And like you said earlier, it's a silent sin. Yes. It's a thing that we don't really talk about in church.
You can hide the fast food bags that you didn't ate. You can hide a lot of stuff. And, you know, maybe you eat in smaller portions. One thing that this just came to mind that I was really bad about. I would fast, right?
Okay.
Because we're supposed to live a lifestyle of fast and praying. And I would kind of exercise self-control there. But as soon as my fast was off, it was almost as if I had to make up for the meals that I missed. And I would go all out. Like, that's not healthy.
That sounds like me. I'm about to say, like, you know, I'm the type where I can go on a fast for 21 days and the first thing I'm eating is a burger.
You know,
I'm about to say, because no shame. I'm about to say I can put some food away. I'm about to say, but I think that's the point. When you look at somebody like me or like yourself, like, you know, people don't see gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those sins that gets overlooked because you don't want to judge people. You don't want to, like, you know, hurt anybody's feelings when you say, like, oh, like, you know, you're eating too much. Like, you know, we don't know everybody's conditions or whatever the case is. So the church literally doesn't talk about it. And, like, you know, we act as if everything's cool. And in reality, like, you know, we have to do better with teaching about food in general, like, especially to those who are trying to do the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Because you kind of brought this up before as well about, like, you know, like, how can you do God's work and you're not healthy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and being gluttonous is not, again, like, it's not about just being fat.
No,
it's not about your health.
It's about, like you said, a lot of the stuff that we eat isn't healthy for us.
Right.
And it's really slowly killing us.
Right.
Which is scary.
Absolutely. You can look at somebody like me and think that, oh, he's healthy because whatever, whatever. But
To be
honest with you, I'm about to say, like, you know, I have a very unhealthy relationship when it comes to food. I love, as you like to say, I have a beige, like, you know, type diet.
Yeah.
Well, at least I had. I'm about to say, like, you know, I had a beige diet where it was always fried chicken, French fries, hot dogs, burgers, like, everything is brown.
You would get a sub with white cheese, brown meat, and a brown, and, like, no color, just
no shame.
Beige.
No shame.
And it's like, where's the healthy stuff?
Shout out to Firehouse, the best subs on this side of heaven.
Now, you had said something earlier with the comfort food.
Okay.
I want to kind of circle back around to that because I think that we see this in the Bible in Exodus, where you have the Israelites reminiscing on the food that they had in Egypt.
Yeah.
And I think that we relate to that more than we realize, because they were in bondage there, but the food that they had there was what comforted them while they were in bondage. Mm. So here they are in a wilderness, in a place where they are uncomfortable, and they're reminiscing on the things that gave them comfort, which is kind of what makes them want it now. And I think that that's what happens. We'll be in a place where we're uncomfortable, and we're going to go back to what comforted us. And a lot of times, that's food.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? I'm about to say, Satan understands that if he can govern what you eat, your appetite, then he can govern you.
Come on.
I'm about to say, so what happens, of course, as you eloquently stated, I'm about to say, like, you know, when they're free, like, the first thing they do is complain to Moses and say, yeah, at least we have food. It's like, you're willing to trade your freedom for satisfaction. And if we're honest, that is us every day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, a lot of us, like, you know, you're free from sin, but you're willing to go back to sin if
it
this sex
you
satisfies
moment.
You
yes.
or if this food satisfies you. So if you don't govern your appetite will govern you.
Come on.
And as it starts to do that, you'll find yourself going back to things
Come on.
That you know are unhealthy,
yeah,
that
yeah.
you know are not good for you, that you'll find yourself repenting from simply because you've never tamed your appetite. This is why, like, you know, when Jesus is, when the Bible says in general to, like, you know, live a lifestyle of praying and fasting, fasting is not just to get something from God or whatever the case is, right? Fasting is about getting control over your flesh so your flesh doesn't control you.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan understands, because this is the really dope caveat about Satan. If you look at Satan, right, when Satan does his first temptation, what is it with?
Food.
It's with food. In the garden, the tree, he says, hey, it looks good. Eve says, yeah, like, we're not even supposed to look at it. Like, you know, we're not supposed to touch it, all these things. And then Satan says, hey, man, like, you know, he just doesn't want you to know what he knows. And now all of a sudden he uses food as the first temptation to advocate for the first sin to enter the earth, which is disobedience. Mm-hmm. So disobedience can be rooted in your food intake.
Yes, because our, who do we hear from that said, is what we're eating glorifying man or glorifying God?
Okay, I don't know who said it, but okay.
It's Tangela, which she got it from somebody, but
oh,
we're going to give her the credit today.
Shout out Tange.
Shout out Tange. And that like hit home because when I think about what God gave us to eat, is everything that grows naturally, right? Like, but man has created food and they have so much lab things and everything with GMOs and, you know, everything is so processed. And it's like, is what we're intaking glorifying man or is it glorifying God? Like, which one are we partaking in the most?
Yeah, I about to say, and we can unpack that in a few, I about to say, because I think that that's layered. I about to say, like, you know, like, you know, as far as like, because, I mean, we got to realize that, like, you know, the world that we live in, like, you know, unless you're growing your own crops in your backyard, which again, even your soil could be contaminated with what, like, you know, America has done to the grounds and stuff or whatever case is, like, it's hard to kind of navigate that space as far as what glorifies who and what. But
if, like, all that you're eating is processed, that should be a red flag right there.
I mean, I hear you, but I mean, broccoli is technically processed.
Ooh, and
like, so I'm saying, like, you know, like, awesome. I'm saying we can get into that, but going back to the whole Satan aspect and what he uses, like, you know, not only does he use food, like, food is rooted obviously in disobedience, or can be, because that's what Satan used. So when we look at how Satan works and how he operates, I tell people all the time, Eve didn't eat from the tree because she was hungry. She ate from the tree because she was greedy. She was greedy for knowledge and information.
Yes.
So a lot of times our greed,
yes,
like, you know, causes us to sin. So sometimes even with the way that you eat, you understand portion control. You understand when you're full. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm putting myself on Front Street. I don't eat wings to get full. Mm. I eat wings for satisfaction. Yes. I could be full for an hour. I'm still eating wings.
Right.
Because I just like wings.
And in a lot of ways in the Bible, gluttony is akin to lust. It's kind of the same thing where it's like you can't get enough. You overindulge in something.
Yeah.
So you'll see the same behaviors in your eating habits with your, you know, craving for intimacy. I'm feeling a certain type of way. I want to go feel this perceived need. So I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Indulging in things that you shouldn't indulge in because you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you're looking for comfort.
I mean, and Satan hasn't done anything new, guys. I about to say, like, you know,
he tempted Jesus.
I about to say, he tempted Jesus with food. I about to say, like, right, you know, say, hey, turn these stones into bread. Because he realizes that if you don't have a governing over your appetite, you will fall victim to anything.
That part.
If you can't control just what you eat, when you eat, like, you know, like, this is why, like, you know, like, when you're praying, that first day may be easy.
Mm-hmm.
That second day, you start making modifications. It's like, oh, well, let me, you know, day two, like, you know, now we're going to incorporate, oh, I can eat everything but fried foods now. So yeah. Now it's like, oh, I'm just fasting from fried foods. But fasting is not about just dieting.
Right.
Like, this is not like, you know, like, oh, I'm just not eating for a couple of hours and all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm expecting God to move mountains or whatever the case is. Fasting is about replacing what you did with food with time with God. And I believe that Miles Monroe said it a while ago. He was like, well, you know, rest in peace, Miles Monroe. But, like, you know, Miles Monroe kind of had a sermon on it a while ago where he said, hey, when you cook food and it takes you an hour to cook your food and then it takes you 30 minutes to eat it, for that hour and a half, you should replace that time,
yes,
with spending time with God.
Yes.
It's almost telling your body that, hey, I know you're hungry, but we're going to eat something else today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to eat something spiritual, something that's going to actually fill me up. So that way I have a healthy relationship with food where I'm not allowing food to dictate me. And even when you're trying to get control over your appetite or whatever case is, I would even challenge people to be like, hey, man, you normally get 12 nuggets, get 8.
That part.
You normally eat a whole pound burger, eat a half a pound burger. Like, you know, it's almost like you got to train your body to take in less food because you've already gotten your body conditioned to eating what it wants to eat, how it wants to eat. Come and on. That's why fasting is so uncomfortable for people because, like, you know, we don't have a control over this flesh. Mm-hmm. This flesh really controls when we go to the pantry. You'll be up at 2 o'clock in the morning making a grilled cheese, like, you know, in the kitchen, and you don't even be hungry. It's just you're craving it. Mm-hmm. But because you don't have control over this thing, it's controlling you. And it's an unhealthy relationship with food, and to the point where, again, you may not be showing it on the outside that you're obese or whatever the case is.
Yes.
But now all of a sudden, like, you know, you got diabetes. Now all of a sudden you have high cholesterol. Now all of a sudden you're dealing with health complications simply because of what you put inside your body.
Come on.
We have to be careful about what we are putting in our bodies on the daily basis, because if not, it will kill us. And Satan understands that. This is why I think Satan always uses food, because he may not be able to get you with never smoke, never drink. Congratulations. For those who are still virgins in your adult life, congratulations. So he may not be able to tempt you in all these other areas, but food is the thing that we don't ever find anything wrong with.
That part.
So we don't teach against it. So now Satan comes in disguised as food. Like, oh, just have another piece of nerd candy.
How many times have you said, I'm going to just have a handful or two of chips and the whole bag be gone?
Oh, man, you can't have just one chip. It's impossible. It's impossible.
But the whole bag?
You'll start eating chips and then look down and realize, dag, I just bought this bag yesterday and it's gone.
Yes.
Like, you know, like.
It's sneaky.
Yeah, and it's not just chips. It's drinks, too. Like, very, you know, like, true. No, like, it's the juices that you take in. Like, you know, I have, again, myself on Front Street, I have a really unhealthy relationship when it comes to juice.
Yeah, you need juice with every meal.
Raspberry lemonade, simply. Thank you. Please sponsor me. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I will drink a whole jug of that in a day's time.
To the head.
Yeah. Like, you know, and for me, it's like, you know, I'll find myself only drinking water when I work out or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unhealthy when you can't tell yourself to stop. When you can't tell yourself, I don't need no more.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful as Christians, because, again, that's the thing that Satan is going to use to put you down.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm not trying to be deep or extra. But at the end of the day, what good is your ministry if you are unhealthy?
Yeah.
If you can't move how you want to move.
Come on.
Like, you know, if you can't go where God is telling you to go because you got to, you know, it's going to sound so bad. Like, you know, that's why I'm like, but if you're like, oh, I can't go because I'm tired. Because, you know, oh, like the idea of going to this place where I got to do a lot of walking.
Mm.
But you're unhealthy. So you don't even have the endurance to walk up a flight of steps without being out of breath. How are you going to teach on the mountaintop?
Mm.
Like, you know, like Jesus did the majority of his ministry traveling.
Yeah.
And he didn't always have a donkey to ride on. So at the end of the day, he walked.
Yeah.
Jesus had to have been healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that he was like the strongest guy in the world out here, like, you know, teaching, like, you know, aerobic classes or anything, but he had to have been healthy. I imagine that the disciples were healthy. Can you name me? And this is just like, you know, again, like, don't take no offense to this, but I think that we got to have the conversation and be real. Can you name any fat people in the Bible that that were doing God's work successfully? Why not?
It's either they didn't explicitly state it or they just were not fat.
I mean, who would you imagine would be
unhealthy?
Who would you imagine would be obese in the Bible? Any of the disciples?
If anything, Solomon.
Solomon could have been fat.
Because he already had that lust issue with all them women.
I agree with that.
Gluttony and stuff.
That's a good point.
Listen, imagine the food he had access to.
Yeah, I'm about to say Solomon would be the guy that would be a little overweight. I can definitely see that. And I mean, as far as I know, he didn't do much traveling. Like I said, like, you know, so he was pretty stationary. But I mean, like, you know, the point is, like, you know, and again, this is not shaming anybody. I have an unhealthy relationship with food. Even though you can't necessarily see it on me, I see it on me, first of all. But then two, like, you know, I feel that stuff. Like, you know, like in my knees.
I was just about to say, like, because you have kind of changed your diet.
Yeah.
Since we've been together. Do you feel any differently when you eat a little bit more leaner, when you eat more vegetables and fruits and all the things? than your whole life of not doing so?
Do I feel differently? Yes, I do feel differently. I can't say that it's like a distinctive, like, oh, like I feel so much better, because I've always been in the gym. I'm a gym rat. I'm always in the gym doing some sort of sporting activity. Like, you know, some, I'm used to moving my body. I'm used to cardio. I'm used to those things. But what I can say is that in eating healthier, I do feel lighter at times. Like, you know, like again, I am a type of person where I would go and buy 15, 20 whole wings, not the little flats, whole wings, and eat those things in a sitting.
That's wild.
In less than 30 minutes.
That's wild.
And I could down some wings, like, you know, I could down some fries with that and a Sprite with that, and I would feel heavy afterwards. And like, you know, sluggish, where you get that itis. Itis can't be healthy. Like, you know, like if you're finding yourself unable to go on because you've ate too much, that doesn't say that you're eating healthy.
Yeah.
To me, food should be giving you energy.
That's what it's for.
It shouldn't be taking energy away from you. And if you're dealing with the itis every time you eat, I get, like, you know, there are going to be some times where you indulge.
Thanksgiving.
I about to say, like, yeah, like, you know, go and get you three, four plates. Like,
oh,
you
know, Lord.
Like, that's cool. Like, you know, like,
is it cool, though? I think that's what we talk about.
That's here. That's a time. If you eat clean throughout the entire year and you got that one day that you're going to indulge, nobody's going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you, because I'm going to be right there with you trying to eat three or four plates. But at the end of the day, like, you know, things that the culture has deemed as normal is really toxic. And if we aren't careful in noticing these things, we will keep looking at the itis as a normal thing.
Yes.
And then we'll look up and you'll be 300 pounds later. And you'll be wondering, dag, how did I get here?
Or end up with high cholesterol, like a stroke, a blood clot. There's so many things that became attached to your diet, which brings me to the question.
Okay.
And I know we've talked about this before.
Here we go.
About what was God's, like, ideal, his first, you know, when he told people this is what you can eat. It was plants. And I know you said that we can eat animals and everything, but my whole thing is, if when God first created man and said, this is what I have given you to eat, and it's plants and seeds and nuts and all the things, there's no meat. To me, that tells me that that is probably the ideal diet for our bodies.
I'll say this. This is no disrespect to no vegans. This is no disrespect to anybody that's a vegetarian.
Just say what you got to say.
At the end of the day, I don't believe, when we read this Bible, that there's enough information in here to infer that God intended for us to be plant-based only.
But this is before the fall.
He
outlined, this is what I've given you for food, no animals were listed.
So you believe that Christians are supposed to be vegans?
Not just Christians. I think that when he created man, we are his creation. I think that he knew what would be best for us, what we would function the best on, and was like, hey, you eat this, you'll be A1.
So again, you believe, not just Christians, but you believe that all of mankind should be vegan. That's your stance.
I'm not gonna put any dietary restrictions on anybody. All I'm saying is, I think that the Bible outlined what would be the best diet for us to function on. We can live without meat.
You can live without meat.
And prosper and function to your highest level.
Yeah, but you can do that on meat as well. Pause. I'm about to say, like, you absolutely you absolutely can eat animals and thrive. You absolutely can. I don't like, and this is just me, guys, I don't like when people try to justify, like, you know, being vegan with scripture, and almost trying to, and not saying you, but people condemning those that eat meat. First of all, again, going back to the point that we made before, if you're in the United States, a lot of your vegan foods, a lot of your vegan options, they're contaminated anyway. about to say, so if you're going to use the argument of, oh, there's preservatives and stuff in the meat, and the meat is not real meat and all this stuff, like, you know,
this is true.
If you're going to use that argument, you got to do the same thing with vegetables and fruit. A lot of fruits and vegetables that you're eating over here in the United States aren't real. Or there aren't 100% that fruit or that vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
This is why people can go to other countries that are allergic to certain things here in the United States, and then go to a Jamaica, go to a different country where they're growing their stuff in the ground, and they have no complications with it.
Right.
So I think that there's this narrative, and it's a nasty narrative, but there's this narrative, unfortunately, that, like, you know, that we are supposed to be only eating, like, you know, certain foods in order to be healthy.
I wouldn't say supposed to. All I'm saying is I do believe that with an all plant-based diet, I think that your body will function a little bit better.
But how?
Over the years.
If plant-based stuff is still has a lot of chemicals and things in it.
Because, okay, we're talking about America, but I'm talking about man as a whole.
But we got to speak to America.
But I'm talking about the general idea.
Okay.
I think that when your body is processing a lot of meat and stuff, it is working harder, I believe, than it does have to process a plant-based diet, which over time, I believe, will turn into wear and tear on your body. So it's like little things like that.
But to go back to your point that you made about, like, the whole idea of what it was intended to be originally, right?
Yes.
We don't know what life was like before the fall.
Okay.
All we know is after the fall. Mm-hmm. So when we look at the scriptures, yes, we don't see Adam and Eve out here killing animals to eat them or whatever the case is. Like, you know, which, again, I understand that. But at the end of the day, our bodies, like, you know, probably didn't need what they need now. When they were created originally. One, they didn't even realize that they were naked. So let's look at the fact that, like, you know, all you're eating is seeds and stuff, whatever the case is. One, about say, like, you know, was there any disease before the fall?
Mm-mm.
No. Was there any sickness before the fall? Mm-mm. No. About say, so your body functioned on a high level before the fall simply because when God created you, he created everything good, no flaws in you.
Mm-hmm.
So now that the fall has happened, I believe that all these things health-wise and all that stuff didn't come from just food. I think it came just from sin. I think sin has corrupted us.
But
like,
even
you know,
then, the Bible says, Cookie, I can't get to my phone. The Bible says, it says something about, like, how he has given us the herbs and all these things in order to, like, heal us. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm going to find a scripture. But even then, it's like, what did it give to heal us? Not animals. Not after you get sick, turn to a good piece of chicken and that's going to restore you.
But if you're not sick, then what's the need of the herb?
But I'm just saying, like, so you could see how if you went to an all plant-based diet, you would really be cool.
But no, because all plant-based diet does not guarantee that you won't get sick.
I know that.
I'm about to say, so I don't think that there's anything wrong, like, you know, with, and I know that you're not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying for the sake of argument, there's nothing wrong with incorporating meat in your diet, like you know even from a holistic standpoint, when you talk about how what God's intent was and all that stuff, again, God exists outside of time and God does not conform to culture, yet and still he is telling us to eat food. He's telling us to eat meat. He's telling us to eat animals. About said, like, you know, and I don't think that he's doing that because, oh, that's just what y'all on now, so let me just get with the program. Like, you know, like, he doesn't do that with anything else. But with food, like, you know, like for those who try to make the argument, it's like you can eat healthy with including meat in your diet on the regular basis. Yes, I agree. Herbs and stuff can heal you. But that doesn't mean that a piece of fish is bad for you.
I agree, because I do love me some fish.
I know you do.
And don't fry it. Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
I feel like that's one of my favorite foods. I think that in itself would be hard for me to go all the way plant-based, because I want some fried fish every now and then.
So, can we justify Jesus saying that you all are going to be fishers of men? Can we justify Jesus feeding people fish?
I mean, that was after, like, certain dietary restrictions and everything.
Because he could have very well gave us any type of vegetable. And he could have been,
he already did.
You guys are going to be seed catchers. Like, you know, like, you guys are going to go dig up seed. He said, y'all going to be fishers of men. He understood that, like, you know, these things are good for you to eat. Using the scripture.
No, I just lost my train of thought.
Even like, you know, like, again, the prodigal son story. He could have been like, yo, man, let's go tear down, like, you know, let's go dig up the best crops and let's have a vegan feast because my son came home. He said, yo, go kill the fattest calf. We're going to have some Five Guys burgers. Like, you know, and they were eating burgers.
Yes, they were, because I was culturally okay by then. What I'm saying is, just because he made something permissible doesn't mean that it was his original intent. And that is what I'm saying. I'll say that I think that God is concerned with what we eat at the end of the day.
I don't think
that it's something that he just lets us do what we do with no consequences. I think that he can lead and guide us into what is best for us. If he created you, then he knows what you need in order to function your best, to be here as long as possible, to not shave off years off your life, which I think the enemy tries to get us to do with a lot of stuff that we intake. And so I think that that's just something to be mindful of, because there's work to do.
I agree with you on that. So what would you say is the solution today? Like, you know, like, is the solution today to, like, oh, you know what, man, we shouldn't be eating meat at all? Or is the solution today that, hey, let's work on our portion control. Let's work on just, like, you know, the amount of meat we take in. Because I do believe, as much as I advocate for us to be able to eat animals and things of that nature, I understand the aspect of a balanced diet. And having balance in not overindulging in just chicken and beef in animals and not having any vegetables. So what then becomes the solution for those, like, you know, who understand that, like, you know, that there needs to be a balance? Like, yeah, you know,
I think just like I said, it is seeking the Holy Spirit and just inviting him into that area of your life. I think that a lot of times we don't think to invite him in unless it's to bless the food that we about to eat. Like, how many times, I know I'm guilty, I be blessing stuff I know ain't about to nourish my body. Like, I know this candy is probably working against whatever my body is trying to do, but I be asking the Lord to bless it.
God be blessing my wings. I about to say, as unhealthy as they are blessed. I believe that when I pray I believe that when I pray for my wings, that God makes those wings so healthy for me that I only extract the things that are going to be good for me from the wings. I about to say, like, you know, again, y'all can have whatever type of faith y'all want to have, but when I pray over my food, it could be a burger with bacon and cheese and mayonnaise only. I about to say, at the end of the day, God is going to bless that burger.
The Bible says to pray about everything. Ask the Lord, what should I be eating? Yeah. Even if it's a daily daily thing. Like, hey, Lord, what should I eat for breakfast today? Lunch. Be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to know when he's like, hey, you've had enough. Put the bag of chips down.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need that second helping. Drink some water. You know, things like that. I think that if we put that in his hands, he's not going to steer us wrong.
I agree. I about to say, and I think that, like, you know, what's interesting, this is circling back and trying to, like, you know, bring into a new point. Like, the idea that we know that Satan is trying to kill us with food. We have evidence that proves that he's trying to kill us with food. Like, food is literally the thing that he is using to take us out. He wants to use food to make you go back to what you were enslaved to.
Yes.
He wants to use food to get you to disobey God.
Yes.
He wants you to use food to get you to revoke, like, you know, the access to God that you have. Like, you know, he knows that if he can get control of your diet, that he has control of you. But then we see that Jesus comes and he says, hey, I am the bread. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm the bread of life. I'm living water.
Yeah.
And in that moment, like, you know, what is really interesting is that Jesus says, hey, I'm food too.
Mm.
I can satisfy too. And if we're not careful, then we will look at what Jesus brings and say, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Bread and water is not, it's not flavorful enough. It's not good enough. It's not whatever. It's not intriguing enough for me to want to eat that. But what you got to understand about bread and water, which, I mean, you probably heard this analogy a million times, but bread and water combined, it expands inside you and it fills you up.
Mm-hmm.
So the satisfaction that you will get from food of all the things that, like, you know, that, like, you know, are going to be unhealthy for you, but you know for a fact it's going to satisfy you. God says, I satisfy in a good way. And then he says, you all are going to be the salt of the world. salt, we know, preserves, but we also know that salt is flavorful. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you can't have a good meal without salt. Like, you know, sometimes, like, right. You know, like, what's the thing that they say on the cooking shows? Cause I know you watch cooking shows, like, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, when they put something before the judge and it's not good, they be like,
could have used a little bit more salt.
A little salt. I'm about to say, so that shows me that Jesus understands what it means to be satisfactory. He knows what it means to be flavorful.
Yeah.
And he knows what it means to really, like, you know, just make you feel good about what you're eating.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so trust God with your diet as well.
And
like,
allow him to remove you from what you've always known. A lot of our diet comes from our families. Right. Yeah. How we grew up. If this is what was always around, yeah. Then yeah, I'm in my adulthood still eating pig ears and pigtails and don't see nothing wrong with it.
But I mean, I understand the cultural aspect of what you grew up in,
yeah,
dictates what you eat and how you eat, how much you eat,
right?
All these things. Like, you know, this is why, again, that Romans 12 and 2, like, you know, you got to have a transforming and a renewing of the mind.
Right.
I'm about to say, so God can replace what you believe is good with what is good. So he can replace what you believe is pleasing with what is pleasing. I'm about to say, not only to your flesh, but also to your spirit.
And allow him to change your appetite. I think a lot of the wilderness that we go through and all those things is so that he can change your appetite so that you begin to crave new things in, yeah, the new place that he's taking you to.
Yeah.
So that you can thrive there, because a lot of times the old diet not gonna serve you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's one of the hardest things about changing your diet is that you gotta really give, first of all, like somebody that is doing it right now, guys, I'm about to say, you gotta give the new diet time, mm-hmm, to really not only develop within you, but you gotta develop an appetite for it. Like, you know, so me, like, you know, I'm somebody that always ate wings, always ate burgers, and that was my diet. Chicken fingers and french fries, right? I'm about to say, but in trying new things, I couldn't just go off of it one time and be like, oh, I can't do this, or whatever the case is. It had to have been something that I probably had to stomach in the beginning. I had to really push through in the beginning. But then I started to find things that were good within this diet, yeah, and things that were flavorful within this diet. The other day, you made like a veggie pasta.
I don't even know where's the meat.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, I'm just like, yo, like, there's no chicken in here. There's no sausages in here. No nothing. But because I've been giving this new diet a try for the past year and a half, dang near two, I'm about to say, because I've been giving this new diet a try, I now find things more satisfactory and more satisfying than what was. I don't eat wings like I used to. Like, and now I can get to a point where, like, you know, they talk about the idea of, like, you know, your stomach expanding,
yes,
because of how you eat
and how much. Mm-hmm.
So when you try to start that new diet may not fill you up because you got to wait for your stomach to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wait for this food that is satisfactory to become satisfactory.
Yeah.
It takes discipline. It takes time. Don't give up on that diet.
Speaking of time, this just came to mind. A lot of the best foods take time to cook. And I think that a lot of the worst foods for us are like instant or a very short period of time to make, right?
I got you.
It don't take long to fry some fries. It don't take long to grab a bag of potato chips and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like some things that we cook. And I think that, you know, Satan does a good job at always trying to cut down the time that we have to wait to be satisfied, right?
Mm.
You get wait a few hours for this that'll really satiate you. Or you could have this right now in the next That's 2 minutes.
I'm about to say, he gives you short-term waiting for long-term, like, you know, dissatisfaction, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because it's going to fill you in the beginning. It's going to make you feel good. But then in the long term, you're going to regret it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if you don't regret it, then as you come more into the knowledge of what God wants for you, you're going to start to be like, dag, I really mismanaged all things me because of what Satan was presenting to me in the now.
And right now, like, what's really, really popular in culture and on social media is all these mukbang videos where people like get these large amounts of food and eat in front of a camera. Those videos be having like millions of views. It's the weirdest thing to me.
Because I think that we lust over gluttony.
Like, yeah, you know, we, like, oh my gosh, that piece of crab, the way she dipped it in that
man,
butter.
Man, if I would have had that, man, I would have ate that thing up.
It makes you want to go do the same.
And now you in your kitchen trying to create something that you that your budget don't even say that you got the money for. About said, like, you know, it's a sad time that we're in. Where entertainment is watching people overindulge
that part
in food.
That part.
There was this group of people that I used to watch on YouTube back when YouTube was in its prime, primetime internet. It was called Epic Mealtime, and with Epic Mealtime, they would make some of the most outrageous meals, like the turbacon bird thing, where it's like turkey, chicken. Bacon, quail, all wrapped in.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
And I would watch their videos. They dropped a new video. Oh, I'm subscribed. I got the alerts on.
Oh, wow.
And I realized in this moment that the lust for the gluttony that I had was disgusting. I literally would sit in front of my computer for hours and watch people overindulge in that and then drink Jack Daniels, like, you know, shots and stuff to wash the food and stuff down. And this was a pastime for me.
And you already know what that connects to, but they say it. This is food porn. That's wild.
Is that not concerning that they had to put food in front of porn and we think that's okay to indulge in?
Right.
Like, we say it so casually, like, oh, it's just food porn. Like, why are we as Christians indulging in any type of pornography?
That part.
Like, you know, so food porn is just as bad as sex porn.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's
just as detrimental to your mind, because now you're seeing those portion sizes and thinking that is really
normal,
good.
Or this is what you can do for you, or whatever the case is. So we have to, especially as Christians, at the end of the day, like, you know, what the world does, like, you know, we will hope that the world comes to grips and says, you know what, man, like, we need to do better with our diet or whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, like, you know, like, we as Christians especially, the Bible says, I can't judge those outside the world. But those in the church, you definitely can judge those people. So my judgment to the church is we have to be better when it comes to food. Like, you know, like, at your funerals, maybe we don't need to be having fried chicken and yams and greens with all this pork in it. When whoever just passed could have died
from food from the same food.
Like, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you got people that are dying
like
from high cholesterol.
Soul food, right? Like,
yeah, soul food is toxic. What was the name?
Big Mama
just died. Had to get her leg amputated. They're not taking my leg, and that's spinal. What they do? They took that leg. And then taking that leg, she dies because of unhealthy eating. Mm-hmm. But they built the entire intimacy of the family around unhealthy food.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen to Uncle So-and-so and Nia Long's character and Vivica A. Fox's character and all these people that, like, eventually y'all going to get fat and die too off the same foods that y'all are glorifying?
Yeah.
Because, again, it's black culture especially to sit around a table full of fried foods and all these things and eat.
Because a lot of time it's not like heart disease runs in your family. You're prone to it. You're prone to it because y'all are all eating the same diet.
Facts.
Which makes it hereditary, even though you could be the change agent in your family.
100%. Again, I about to say, like, I want to make sure that, like, you know, I paint it evidently clear. Ask my mama. When it comes to me and food, I ate two things and they both were fried. So I'm not sitting here trying to harp on people that are eating unhealthily. But what I am challenging us all to do is to seek better diets. Ask God. Again, the Bible says that if you ask for wisdom, he won't rebuke you for asking.
Correct.
So God, how can I make my diet? Give me wisdom on how to make my diet a little more healthy.
Yeah.
So I don't fall victim to things like heart disease, high cholesterol, diabetes, whatever the case is. Because now when it comes time for me to serve you, I want to be able to do so without hindrance.
That part.
And I feel like there are a lot of people who God has called to do things, but because you're unhealthy and you can't go forward, Now, all of a sudden, God has to choose somebody else. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who are thriving in ministry, who are on the plus size, who are obese or whatever the case is. And shout out to you. Like, you know, again, this is not like, you know, me trying to condemn you, because again, I said this before, and this is what I want to make clear. There are some people who grew up in those environments,
yeah,
where unhealthy eating was the norm.
Right.
And some people didn't come into knowing who God was until after.
Right.
They have explored all this food stuff or whatever the case is, and now you're in a position where you could be trying to lose the weight. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad if you are somebody that is on a plus side or obese or whatever the case is. God loves you the way you are, and we're not sitting here trying to condemn you. But what we are saying is that there's a better way in the event you don't have a healthy relationship with food. Maybe funeral repasts should have more green stuff there. Maybe mm-hmm. we should have more, like, you know, spreads of food when people come to the cookout, and the cookout is a vegan cookout.
Like, you know, like around, guys.
Like, you know, like if not a vegan cookout, at least like a foods that are not fried and, like, you know, overly salty and overly, yeah, like, you know, seasoned or whatever case is. Because, I mean, you know, we Black people, we like to season our food.
Yeah.
Because we like flavors.
Come on. I know I do.
But them flavors can be unhealthy.
I ain't trying to hear that.
I mean, you even told me about, like, you know, how your mom, like, you know, in certain seasonings that y'all use, that y'all don't use because of red dye this or
Red Dye 40, yeah. She's been really big since we were kids about not, you know, taking in foods that have high fructose corn syrup, whether that's juice or sauces, or she was Susie Homemaker. Growing up, she made her own bread and,
yeah,
you know, dried fruit for us instead of having candy. It wasn't the most lovely childhood. I couldn't wait to go over to my friend's house who had the real Cocoa Puffs,
right,
and the real Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah,
because at our house it was Raisin Bran and other things. So anyways, but we're healthy for the most part,
right,
for the most part. And I think, kind of just to speak to what you just said, it's, again, it's really easy to look at somebody's outward appearance and be like, oh, they must struggle with gluttony.
Yeah.
But I think
that's real judgmental.
Yeah. But I think that it really is even more dangerous with the people who can eat everything and not gain any weight. First of all, I'm jealous of all those people. Yeah. I wish I could eat ice cream at midnight and still wake up with abs. It don't work like that for me. But those are the people that you know, could really be struggling with something, and nobody will ever call it out because it's not easy to see on the outside.
Yeah. So do you think it's insensitive as us as the church to incorporate more, like, exercise things for people to do?
I think that would be awesome.
Because I think that, like, you know, like, even our church, like, you know, recently just did, like, you know, a women's ministry thing where there was a day where y'all came together and y'all worked out. Like, you know, like, they did, like, a little aerobics class.
Or even just nutritionists. Like, if you only know one way of eating.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You know, if nobody ever told you about what dairy really does to you, then you don't see the problem with putting butter on everything. You yeah. know, if you don't, if no one tells you about portion control, then you're what's that saying? Your eyes are always going to be bigger than your stomach.
Yes.
So you're always going to put too much food on your plate and think that that's normal.
Yeah.
So I think I guess we could do a better job at educating.
Yeah. I think that's our job as a church, to educate people and to, like, if we're going to call out, and again, I think there's a way to do it where we can be sensitive towards it. But if we're going to call out homosexuality, if we're going to call out premarital sex, if we're going to call out, like, you know, people that smoke and people that drink and other things, then we got to be also willing to call out gluttony.
Yes.
Because there are scriptures in the Bible that speak to gluttony. And yes. I don't know if you can find them right quick, but I know that, like, you know, there were scriptures where I didn't realize that these were actual scriptures.
Yes.
Like, you know, like the whole seven deadly sins was where my understanding of gluttony came from. But the Bible has a plethora of scriptures
yes.
about eating and about how these things are direct correlations to sin, if not managed properly.
Correct.
So, you know, that way people don't think that we're just talking out the side of our necks or whatever the case is. Like, this is what your Bible speaks to. Your word speaks to gluttony. Like, you know, so we're not sitting here trying to tell you guys something that is going to make you feel bad or going to make you feel like, man, like, they're being real judgmental. But we're really trying to do this thing the right way.
Ezekiel 16:49, Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside their door. Which tells me that, again, gluttony is a sin, and it's something that, like you said, should be addressed.
Yeah. And find Philippians 3:19, so that way they can understand that as well. About say, like, you know, there are so many scriptures on your food intake,
yes,
that we got to start committing to memory and then making a lifestyle out of it.
They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite.
Read with some enthusiasm now.
They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite.
Mm. So your appetite can literally be the thing that you worship.
Yes.
Like, how does God feel about idols?
He's going to destroy them every time.
They're detestable to him.
Yeah.
He don't like them.
Yeah.
So when you have idols and
I have traveled for food. I have spent some of my last on some food.
Haven't we all?
Come on. Like,
I will spend my last couple dollars on some good wings.
Who is really on the throne of your heart?
Right. I agree with that. I'm about to say, and that's why, like, you know, these scriptures are not there just to, like, and I want to make sure that I read, I think it's, so Exodus 16:3, it says, if only, this is the children of Israel speaking. About to say, like, you know, and they're like kind of like talking at Moses or whatever the case is. Like, you know, when the manna from heaven comes in. We all know about manna from heaven, about to say, like, you know, and how it happens. But this is what they say beforehand. It says, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. Like, you know, like, one, they are in freedom, but because they don't have what they want, they wish they would have died, right? About to say, there we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. So even though you were enslaved, you were eating like kings.
Yes.
And you were willing to go back to slavery.
Yes.
Just for food. Like, that's nasty work.
Because it's what comforted them in slavery. At least we could eat whatever we wanted. Now we're uncomfortable and we don't even have that. In Numbers 11:34, it talks about that place where God did provide them with quail.
Yeah.
But he ended up killing them before they could even chew it good. They said that they called that place the graves of gluttony because there they buried the people who had
called
craved.
Called the graves of what?
Of gluttony.
Mm.
Because they buried the people who had craved meat from Egypt. God don't like
God. I mean, do we gotta keep giving y'all a bunch of scriptures for y'all to understand that this is detrimental? Your stomach is detrimental to your purpose on earth. This thing can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to taste all the time and eat all the time and indulge in all the time can kill you. I love me some good wings, but I haven't had a fried wing in I don't know how long.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm not. I'm about to say, I wish I had more. I'm about to say, like, you know, but at the end of the day, I understand that, hey, I got to make better choices when it comes to my food. Again, like, you know, listen to how the children of Israel taught in that same book, Numbers 11, verse 4. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. Again, so the Bible recognizes that Egypt has some good in it, right? The good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain, oh, for some meat. Pause. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone, and all we ever see is this manna.
Which tells me, one, who you surround yourself with can also influence the things that you crave. One. Two, the things, just because something is in abundance doesn't mean that it's good for you.
Talk about it.
Like, there's some things that we have easy access to. And so that's why it's our knee-jerk reaction to just go get that. But that does not mean
that's good.
That's what's good for you.
And then I think I've heard you say this before, and I want to make sure I give you some credit. Then they say, all we have is this manna.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what manna is?
It's a whole miracle.
It's a whole miracle. And y'all are complaining Because God gave you access to a miracle because you wanted what was. Mm-hmm. And isn't that all of us? Where yeah. God can deliver you from something and you begin to crave the things that he's saved you from. Mm-hmm. And you start to downplay what God has given you because it's not as satisfactory to you simply because you haven't trained this. You haven't transformed this.
Right.
You haven't asked God to give you a clean heart.
Right.
So because this thinks like Egypt, then it makes it hard for you to experience the miracle for the fullness of what it is. It really is just a thing where, like, you know, I hate that. I hate that, like, you know, we can downplay something simply because it's not what was.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm getting better at that too when it comes to my diet. It's not trying to downplay what I have because what I have is good. You know, I still rather like, you know, my wings sometimes, but I'm not going to sit here and act like these smoothies, this fish, like, you know, these vegetables aren't good. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, amen to that.
Amen. I'm about to say, do better with food. I'm about to say, that's really the whole, the whole point of this thing is just to get a healthy relationship with food.
Make that a point to do.
Like, try it. Like, try to be better with food. Like, you know, don't hear this and think that we're shaming anybody, but really hear the sentiments of what the Bible is trying to speak to us, that Satan is trying to kill us with food. And if we recognize that, then we're better off.
Yeah.
Just knowing that that's one of his vices.
That part.
So.
Well, this has been real. I like this conversation. Been fun. I feel a little exposed, but I'm glad I put myself out there.
You and me both. So we appreciate y'all rocking with us again. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe, share this with as many people as possible. I'm about to say we really appreciate all the support that we get from y'all. And until next time,
bye.
Peace out.